our friend who we saw in person just a couple hours ago, but he had to leave the building, joining us on the line right now, yeah, Michael Grange.
Again, one of those times where we weren't sure if he was kidding, and turns out not kidding.
No, he's serious. Hello, Michael.
Hi, guys. I don't kid. I don't care about my availability.
Yeah, you're right.
I would have said, yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
But I said, no, I can't.
I think you just said no. You just said no.
Can't is very different
than won't. And it seems more of a won't situation is what's happening here, to be honest.
Well, if I was there, I'd be in there with you.
Okay, thanks, buddy. So the Kawhi thing, what are you hearing from your end? Because you're obviously a well-connected guy and break lots of Raptors stories. We've heard from NBA insiders at large the last couple of days. What are you hearing from the Raptors inside of things in regards to Kawhi Leonard?
It's been very quiet, for obvious reasons. You know, they have nothing to benefit from. You know, typically when things are interesting around the team, there's a tendency to sort of keep that stuff close. If I had some good, solid info or intelligence to pass along, I'd be doing it. I think where a lot of this stuff comes from is it makes sense, right? The Kawhi Leonard has a limited number of teams that would be a fit. The Raptors would be on that list, not Kawhi's list, but a list. And, you know, and then when you look around at everything else going on, you realize how that market for his services, you know, could crater. And if that's the case, then maybe already has cratered. And if that's the case, then, you know, some team might just take a risk. And, you know, the Raptors could be that team.
What's the biggest red flag for you out of everything with Kawhi Leonard? Because I know the Uncle Dennis thing is getting a lot of play, and there are some strange things that seem to be behind the scenes with him and Kawhi Leonard. But I can't imagine that this is the worst thing, especially when you're looking at a guy like Lonzo Ball getting drafted second overall. Teams take risks with guys like this, even if it means parting with assets. And this goes across all of professional sports. And the health, again, there was a lot of debate throughout the year that he was healthier than he was leading on, and his teammates were even calling him out on it, which became a problem. So when you look at this whole Kawhi Leonard thing, why do you think the market is cratering? What do you read on it?
Well, I think there's a lack of leverage, right? Like the Spurs, I think people kind of realize that you know, the Spurs don't really have a way to create a market here. They've got a player who clearly doesn't want to play for them anymore. And particularly when Los Angeles did what the Lakers I'm speaking about did what they did, all of a sudden, you know, that list of likely destinations shrunk significantly. And you're kind of in a market right now, probably where if I was an executive, I'd be like, why do I necessarily want to rush in here? The longer I wait, the more advantage I have. And, you know, you couple that with, you know, the fact that his camp, whatever that camp is, whichever uncle or cousin or agent is kind of engineering these information blips, makes it pretty obvious that there's only a couple of places they're interested in going, if more than one. And so, you know, I think all of those things have made it a problem to drum up a lot of interest from the Spurs point of view. But if for me, the biggest red flag, I mean, you kind of glossed over it there, but I think health would be a huge one.
Yeah.
You know, this is a guy who has never played more than, I think, 72 or 73 games. He's always, you know, kind of a little bit nicked up. Doesn't play a lot of heavy minutes. I'm not trying to say he's not an incredible player, but I mean, from the Raptors' point, and he's coming off a season where he hasn't played at all, and there's no, like, they've done no, they've made, you know, they haven't released, there's no, like, LeBron James Instagram workout videos, you know what I mean? It's just, it's nothing. So I personally, if I was doing the inquiries, I would be concerned about what version of Kawhi Leonard you're getting.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, yeah, the health thing is the most important thing. And the conversation isn't even almost worth having if he's not healthy. But I guess for the sake of conversation, we can just assume he's healthy. I don't know.
Can you? I mean, you know, and to the second point there, Ben, is how would you assure yourself, right?
Know.
And let's just take it to a Raptor-specific point of view. If you are going to include DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, just because it seems to be where the salaries would match up and et cetera, and I'm not trying for a second suggesting DeMar DeRozan is all around as good or better player than Kawhi Leonard, because I don't think he is when Kawhi Leonard is at his best. But you are sending away an iconic franchise-type player. You know, we all, the character community, the total package that is DeMar DeRozan, who, say what you want, is an absolute Iron Man, right? You know exactly what you're getting and how long you're going to have it for. And your, you know, what he stands for, what his commitment is to this team, to this community, and what he has produced. And you're packaging that for a player who is a better player, who by all signals suggests that he only wants to be in Los Angeles, has never signaled he wants to be in Toronto, and should he end up here, only ends up here for 1 year. And in addition to that, the expectation is you'd be throwing in future picks, or in OG Anunoby, as an example, arguably the best, what is he, the best player in the summer league this year? One of the best? I'm not sure. But, you know, a really high, like I would call him a very high-end prospect still. Again, for, you don't know if this guy's healthy, and you don't know when he's going to be healthy, and you don't know how long he's going to be here.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I mean, it's great to think about that, but there's a little part of me that wonders, how much of is it like if we can get the Raptors, the desperate Raptors, to seem interested, you know, we can draw some interest somewhere else, or you know, force them to overpay because, you know, they're the guys at the party who never get any attention.
So a couple things there. One, I think that if it's just like if we were just talking about DeRozan in a one for one, like, yeah, all those things that you said about him are true, but even if Kawhi Leonard wasn't 100% healthy, I think that you'd still have to roll the dice on that.
JD, sure. I mean, we're not talking 100% healthy. The guy hasn't played in a year.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And
so if he shows up and the quad gets all finicky in training camp, mm-hmm. and he gives you 9 games,
I still think that the gamble would be worth it considering what you've seen the last couple of seasons, to be honest. If it was DeRozan, and you didn't have to include OG Anunoby or unprotected future picks over the next couple of seasons, I wouldn't see where the problem would really lie in that. The thing that scares me the most about the health is that Philadelphia's doctor, who I guess it's against the rules for him to tell the Sixers exactly what the medicals are on Kawhi Leonard, but the fact that maybe they would be hesitant to move on him or to put Markelle Fultz, who, I get it, he was the first overall pick. I think he's going to bounce back and be a fine player, but the opportunity on paper to put Kawhi with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and even another guy like J.J. Redick, a shooter, and a couple of veterans seems so ridiculously tantalizing that if they're not in it, I would be scared as another team. So where do you draw the line, though, when it comes to the prospects and the OG and Anunoby thing? Because Ben and I were debating what OG can be the other day, and I was saying if you look at his numbers next to Jaylen Brown's from their first season, you could make the case that OG had the better rookie year and that maybe he even has the higher ceiling than Jaylen Brown, who, as we know, is an untouchable player now with a Celtics team that's even deeper in prospect capital than anybody else. Is it OG? Do you draw the line there for Kawhi? Like, again, assuming he's healthy. Or is it that 2021 year where we're looking at potentially having a double draft where high school students become available?
I don't know where I would draw the line. And, you know, I would be very hesitant to toss in an OG Anunoby, and I would be hesitant to mortgage too much of my future, because if you pull the trigger on something like this and it doesn't work, or if you do and even it does work, and a year later, you know, he wants to leave, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, what you're left over with in terms of long-term deals, and you say, okay, we're going to pivot now to a rebuild. Well, you're going to want those picks, and you're going to want those young players. So I would be, you know, I think there's a reason this deal is dragging out the way it is. And I think there's a lot of executives who are very hesitant because there does seem to be some stink around it. And, you know, and if I was doing this deal, I would want to know and I would want to see. I mean, there's a lot of really good pickup games being played by NBA players all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I would want to be sure that the guy I was going to be staking my career on was able to play and play hard and train hard and wanted to be here. And, you know, to the extent of that he's not or you can't confirm any of those things, I would be very, very hesitant to overspend.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Why a lot of teams are holding back their best young players, and this Team USA minicamp is going to be huge. What I'm really interested in, and again, we're playing the thought experiment where Kawhi is healthy. What is making the finals worth? Because it's hard to imagine the scenario where the Raptors are looked at as a team that could knock off the Golden State Warriors. They can get out of the East. They might even be favorites to get out of the East with a Kawhi Leonard, but it's not going to be easy. What is it worth to win the East, to get to a finals, but still probably get waxed by the Warriors in that final?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure. Like, if you add Kawhi Leonard to the current Raptors team, mm-hmm. you know, that's pretty interesting. If you add Kawhi Leonard to a team that doesn't have DeMar DeRozan, that doesn't have OG Anunoby or something else like that, you know, and I'm not even sure if you're a 59-win team that you are this year, right? Like, you're not beating. So what is it worth? I guess it's worth a lot. I think you're going to have a good season this year no matter what you do. I guess the question is, how much are you increasing your chances of coming out of the East by adding Kawhi Leonard, you know, who's a mystery? And, you know, I can't answer that. I don't know. I mean, you know, if he's the Kawhi Leonard he had 2 years, the last 2 years before this one, be pretty interesting. But, you know, if he's the Kawhi Leonard who seems really weird and seems to make no effort on not being perceived as weird and has turned his back on one of the, you know, premier franchises in all sports and has lost the trust of guys like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, who are, I've never heard anyone say anything bad about those guys in their 20 years in the NBA. So, you know, I think it's fun to talk about. It's exciting. If and when it happens, you know, I guess we'll all find out. But, you know, I'm not sure, you know, A, there's no such thing as a thought experiment if he's healthy. That doesn't exist. You don't know. And so the next step on that is it worth the risk, and how does taking that risk improve your chances? And, you know, I'd say I'm not convinced it improves them all that much.
Yeah, that's why I wonder if there's actually a case, because I agree with what Ben just said, as how much better does it make you? And this has always been my detraction to the Kawhi Leonard trade, that if you are giving up DeRozan and OG or DeRozan and even a future first-round pick, but another one of the important bench mob pieces, let's say DeLon Wright, yeah, how much does that actually change your ceiling? I think that you're better, and you do have a better chance to win.
And you're relevant in the culture again.
Yep, and you're more, yeah, you mean in Toronto as a product?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so there is some value to that for sure. But I still don't see you as a clear-cut favorite over the Celtics or even the Sixers. So, and even now, I think that Pacers team deserves a little bit more respect to jump in the conversation too. But I think that maybe if that you're doing this, there's a case to be made where you actually pay more in prospect capital and double down on going all in on this team that you've seen over the last couple of seasons. So essentially that you're trying to keep a DeMar DeRozan and maybe shed a contract like Valanciunas or someone else, but pay extra in terms of picks and prospects rather than give up a guy like DeMar.
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting concept, right? Like, again, if the market for Kawhi Leonard is as soft as it's appearing for the time being, yeah, maybe you do go down that route. Maybe, maybe the Spurs have to eat a little bit of bad money to get some of that prospect capital for a player who's, you know, got a lot of red flags and isn't coming back to them anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of funny how you can kind of look at that in some ways. I mean, you were so conditioned when you hear the right a certain name that you turn yourself inside out to make that happen. But, you know, in a way, like, the Spurs are the one that are in a tough situation, right? Like, they're, you know, they're, maybe the proper way of looking at this is they're the ones that are staring in the face of a rebuild. They're the ones who have lost touch and faith of, and faith in, I guess, you know, a guy who's supposed to be their franchise player. You know, if it wasn't called the Spurs, if it was called the Kings or the Grizzlies or, you know, the Hornets, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be, so I think the conversation would sound different, right? But it's the Spurs, and so you're like, okay, well, you know, we've got to line up and get a piece of that.